Our scripture reading for today is John 7, 25 through 39. Can this be the Christ? Some of the people of Jerusalem therefore said, "Is not this the man whom they seek to kill? And here he is speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Christ? But we know where this man comes from, and when the Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from." So Jesus proclaimed as he taught in the temple, "You know me, and you know where I come from, but I have not come of my own accord. He who sent me is true, and him you do not know. I know him, for I come from him, and he sent me." So they were seeking to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. Yet many of the people believed in him. They said, "When the Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man has done?" The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about him, and the chief priests and Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. Jesus then said, "I will be with you a little longer, and then I'm going to him who sent me. You will seek me, and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come." The Jews said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go that we will not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What does he mean by saying, 'You will seek me and you will not find me, and where I am you cannot come'?" On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word.
One of the growing phenomena that we've witnessed with the advent of the internet is this rise and this fascination with conspiracy theories. You know, with the growth of all these personal platforms and instant access to information, and a lot of it just flat-out fake news, people are more and more inclined to give credence to conspiracies. And it just seems like every week someone is suggesting another national or international global conspiracy in an attempt to explain away the simple and the obvious. According to some, conspiracies are everywhere. They are just too many to imagine, but you've heard of them. I pray that you haven't fallen prey to any. The conspiracies about a flat earth. Hope there are no flat earthers here this morning. Conspiracy about men never going to the moon. The conspiracy around the new Coke and the old Coke. I know some of you fell for that. The conspiracy around Area 51 and there's really men in black running around zapping people. Or the Obama birtherism conspiracy. The conspiracy of engineering COVID-19. You know what conspiracies are, beloved? Conspiracies are really just a person's way of explaining what they have a hard time understanding or refusing to accept the simple and straightforward explanation. And so what happens instead, people become convinced that others are hiding information because of some sinister and evil plan to manipulate them or manipulate the world. I want to suggest to you this morning, and I want to be very clear, beloved, that God does not deal in conspiracies. He doesn't deal in sinister plots. He doesn't deal in evil schemes to trip up or fool people. His sovereign decree is clear. When you read the Bible, the plan was clear from the very beginning. It is stated over and over again. In fact, here is a clear statement of the decree of God from the very beginning, found for us in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. There's no conspiracy here. Jesus was sent into the world to save sinners. No secret conspiracy, no covert plan, and therefore everything that Jesus did was to the end of God's revelation in saving sinners. Everything Jesus did was to that end, out in the open, so others could see him, so others could hear him. This is true even when we come to John chapter 7 and Jesus attends the Feast of Tabernacles. As we saw last week, chapter 7 records Jesus and his brothers going up to Jerusalem along with everyone else, as was the Jewish tradition, for the annual Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. And the Feast of Tabernacles, beloved, was the last of the seven national feasts that were on the Jewish calendar at the time. And everyone was called to go. It was a fall feast. It was the feast that followed the Day of Atonement. It was a joyous feast. It was a joyous celebration. It was at the end of the harvest. And as all the harvest had been gathered in, sometimes the feast was called the Feast of Ingathering. It was a week-long celebration. It's a week-long celebration of eating and dancing and drinking and living in tents and living out in booths, because they were commemorating and remembering and celebrating God's presence and God's provision for the children of Israel in the wilderness. That's what the feast was about. How God provided for them as they dwelt in tents in the wilderness. How he provided food, how he provided water, how he provided all that they need for those wilderness years. And why was Jesus at the feast? Why did he go? Again, beloved, there's no conspiracy here. Jesus went to the feast for the same reason that he went to the other feast. He went to the Feast of Tabernacles just as he went to Passover, to reveal that he is the final revelation of God, that he had come into the world to save sinners. He was at Passover because he was the Passover lamb. Isn't that what the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 29, that he is the Lamb of God who come to take away the sin of the world once and for all. And therefore, Jesus was at the Feast of Tabernacles for the same purpose, to reveal who he is and what he had come to do. He was at the feast because, as Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23 reminds us, that Jesus is Emmanuel, that he is God with us. And as God had promised to dwell with the children of Israel in the wilderness, in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8, God promised that he would be in the midst of them, that he would dwell amongst them, that he would tabernacle with them. Christ coming as the final revelation of God, who, the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 14, as the Word became flesh, and what did he do? He dwelt among us. He tabernacles among us. Jesus Christ is God in our midst. That's not a conspiracy, beloved. There's nothing hidden there. This is the revelation of God from the very beginning. All that God was saying in the Old Testament was pointing to the fuller revelation of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh to dwell among us. There was no conspiracy with Jesus. The only thing that God had up his sleeve was Jesus. That's it. That's it. Everything in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus. No conspiracy, just Jesus. No conspiracy, it's just Jesus. And beloved, listen to me. Christians are not in this world looking for some hidden knowledge or secret codes or keys to unlock power and prosperity in our lives. That's not what Christians do. Because Christians understand that the key to understanding is Jesus. The key to wisdom is Jesus. The key to life and eternity is, yeah, you guessed it, Jesus. It's what Colossians tells us, chapter 2 and verse 3. In him. Are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's Jesus. With that in mind, beloved, understand that Jesus is not a thing to be tested. Jesus is not a philosophy to be tried. He is not a theory to be examined. But he is a Savior to be trusted. He is God to be believed. And yet the fascinating thing about that, as clear as that is for anybody who would seriously and soberly read the scriptures, as clear as that is for anybody who would seriously and soberly this morning listen to Jesus. Still, Jesus can be right in front of you, and you still think of some conspiracy. It could be plain as the nose on your face, and you still think there is some other agenda. There is some hidden information you need. Some of you may be thinking that this morning. Many of them thought that as they encountered Jesus in our text this morning. Jesus was not hiding his agenda. He was not doing tricks. He was not playing games. He had no conspiracy with others to fool the people. And yet some had no other explanation for him but a conspiracy theory. And it's apparent. You look at verse 25, chapter 7, and 26. At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, isn't this the man they are trying to kill? And here he is, speaking publicly. They are not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Messiah? Do you hear that? Rather than listening to who Jesus is and accepting what Jesus is doing, they thought that the authorities must be in on it. How could Jesus be able to speak so freely? Did they, the authorities, the government, actually believe that he was Messiah, but they just weren't telling us? They're in on it. This can't be the Messiah. He can't be the Messiah. And the government must have this all wrong. He can't be the Messiah. Why? Because we know his father. His father is Joseph of Arimathea. We know where he comes from. This is Jesus of Nazareth. What's going on here? What are they not telling us? Beloved, there is no evil conspiracy. The only conspiracy that we might suggest this morning is that the Father conspired to send the Son to save sinners. To save sinners. But then again, conspiracy is something hidden and secret. And beloved, that is not secret. But there are those who refuse to see that. They could not fathom the truth that was right in front of them. And the truth is this, beloved, as Jesus was explaining to them. Jesus was more than the son of Joseph. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus says, I didn't just come from Nazareth. I came from heaven. But apparently, dismissing everything that Jesus was saying and dismissing everything that Jesus was doing, they thought that Jesus was just some local carpenter's son who had become a popular teacher. Or perhaps some miracle worker who now had conspired with the local authorities to create an illusion to fool the masses of people. Beloved, I want to assure you this morning that Jesus is not a trick. That Jesus didn't come to put on a show or to play word games. Jesus came to save. And how do we know this? Because despite the popular opinion and despite the conspiracy theories, the Bible says that some did believe, that there were sheep amongst those who heard, trusted, and believed, not the conspiracy talk, but Jesus. Some saw through all of the conspiracy talk and they saw the truth. Some saw through and looked clearly at the signs, and they pointed to Jesus as Messiah. But I want to suggest to you this morning, and dare I say that most did not. Why? Because they were too caught up in the conspiracy talk. And rather than believe and confess Jesus, they conspired to arrest Jesus. So actually, beloved, there is a conspiracy here. There is a conspiracy here, but the conspiracy was not Jesus. The conspiracy was the Pharisees and the chief priests. They conspired. They conspired to arrest Jesus. They conspired to discredit Jesus. They conspired to kill Jesus. But they're not the only ones. They're not the only ones, beloved, because this is what conspiracies do. The conspiracies of false religion have done this from the beginning. The conspiracies of atheistic philosophies have done this from the beginning, and they continue to do this. What does false religion do, beloved? False religion confuses the teachings of Jesus. What does atheistic science and philosophy do but want to discredit Jesus and his claims? What are all these modern conspiracies trying to do? Get people to dismiss and even pervert the truth of Jesus. Now, whenever I hear someone talking about conspiracies, they come up to me and they say, Pastor, did you hear this? Or Pastor, you want to hear this? The first question I want to ask them, and I usually do, is helpful. I find it helpful, is to ask them, who told you that? Who told you that? And when you run into those wanting to pervert the truth of Jesus, all you have to do is start with the question, who told you that? Who told you that? Who told you that the earth was flat? Who told you that? Who told you that men had never been to the moon? Who told you that? Who told you that all religions lead to God? Who told you that? Who told you that Jesus never claimed to be God? Who told you that? Who told you that the Bible is not the Word of God? Who told you that? Who told you that in order to be saved, you have to keep the Ten Commandments? Who told you that? Listen, beloved, listen. There is a lot of confusion out there. And the internet and YouTube have multiplied the false prophets like never before. And because there are so many false prophets, there are more and more conspiracies, theories. That's why you gotta watch what you watch. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful what you read. Be careful what you see. Be careful what you eat. Be careful what you drink. Just because it's red don't mean it's Kool-Aid. Just because it tastes like chicken don't mean it's chicken. And just because it is spiritual does not mean it's Jesus. Beloved, I want to be clear this morning that the gospel is not complicated. It is not complicated. Jesus is not complicated. And when it comes to understanding the things of God, there is no conspiracy. There is only Jesus. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. Is it this morning? It's just Jesus. There's no hidden agenda this morning. There was no hidden agenda with Jesus. And how do we know this? Because the Bible says that on the last day of the feast, he made it clear. And he made it plain. In John chapter 7, verse 35 and 36, the Bible tells us that after Jesus had spoken, they had a lot of questions. Questions. They had a lot of questions. Why they had a lot of questions? Because this is what people do when they want to dodge the truth. They ask a lot of questions, irrelevant questions. They bring the truth under suspicion by asking irrelevant questions. And this is what they did. Notice how many questions they have over and over again. Where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? Will he go where the people live scattered among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What did he mean when he said, you will look for me and you will not find me? And where I am, you cannot come. What is he doing? What is he talking about? Where is he going? Why does he say that? Why does he say this? Now, if that had been me, I would have looked at him and said, you asking all them questions. Asking all them questions. Why are you asking all them questions, making statements? But Jesus is better than me. And rather than ask them why they're asking all them questions, he made a statement. He made a statement of statements. He made a powerful statement, a most clarifying statement. Some have suggested the most clarifying statement. statement he made during his earthly ministry, at least in the Gospel of John. Don't miss it, for it clearly states who he is and why he came. On the last day, the Bible says, of the feast. And on the last day is important, Bob, because on the last day, there was a special water ceremony. The priests, on the final day of the feast, would take golden pitchers of water from the pool of Siloam, and they would make their way to the temple with the water. And as they were making their way, the crowds would gather around them and begin to shout and to begin to sing Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. With joy we will draw water from the wells of salvation. And over again, they would say, with joy, we would draw waters from the wells of salvation. With joy, you will draw waters from the wells of salvation. Over and over and over again, until it reached a fever pitch. And then the priests would pour out the waters in front of the altar. And no doubt, beloved, no doubt, that when the priest did this, he was reminding the people of God's provision of water for the children of Israel in the wilderness. And as he poured out the water, and as the crowd was reaching its highest heights, the Bible says in verse 37 that Jesus stood up and he cried with a loud voice, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Water. The water in the wilderness was given because the people were thirsty. Jesus says, that which you celebrate here today was only a temporary fix. I have come to offer you the waters of life. Drink this. Drink this, beloved. If anyone, he says, if anyone thirsts. Beloved, if anyone is really everyone. Because we're all thirsty this morning. I'm thirsty. I'm going to have me a drink of water. Everyone is thirsty this morning. Everyone is thirsty. If anyone really means everyone. We get thirsty. We all get thirsty. We get thirsty for several reasons, right? We get thirsty because of overexertion. We overexert ourselves, right? We're thirsty because we work and try to be good all the time. And we can't do it. And we get dry and we get thirsty. We get thirsty from overexertion. We get thirsty from overexposure. Too much time out in the sun. Too much time exposed, long underneath the weight of our sin. Overexposure. Overexertion, overexposure, overseasoning. Too much salt. Too many spices. Too much eating at the world's tables. too much consuming of the world's diet. Sooner or later, you get tired, dry, and thirsty. We all thirst. We all thirst. I mean, you ask yourself the question, why do you do anything that you do this morning? Think about it. Why do we do anything that we do? We do it because we're thirsty. We do it because we're thirsty. Anything that we pursue because we're thirsty. We pursue education. We pursue school. Why? Because we're thirsty for knowledge and education. We pursue marriage. Why? Because we thirst for companionship. We pursue sports. Why? Because we thirst for accomplishment and recognition. We pursue politics. Why? Because we thirst for power and change. We pursue drugs. Why? Because we thirst for relief and pleasure. We pursue money because we thirst for that which is bigger and better. Everyone is thirsty. Blaise Pascal, the French philosopher and mathematician who once said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person, and it can never be filled by any created thing. It can only be filled by the God who made it. There is a thirst, a longing, a need in every human heart this morning, and that is only satisfied with Jesus. It is a longing for fulfillment. It is a longing for completion. It is a longing for joy. It is a longing for peace. It is a longing for assurance. Everyone has it. And this is why anyone can come. This is why everyone can come. This is why Jesus says, come. Come. This is why the gospel says, come. Come. Let not conscience make you linger, the songwriter says. Nor a fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is that you feel your need of him. You just come. You come thirsty. Come. And the promise of God, the promise of God is the satisfaction of the thirsty soul with the pouring out of his Spirit. He fills that vacuum with his Spirit. This is his promise in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3, where he says, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. The Lord promises to pour out his Spirit upon the dry desert soul of your life. Refresh it. Renew it. And reclaim it. And he doesn't just give you a little drink, beloved. He fills you up. He fills you up. Ask yourself the question. Ask yourself the question. Why does the Bible seem to always use the language of fill and filling when referring to the work of the Holy Spirit? In Acts chapter 2, in verse 4, the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 52, the Bible says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, the Bible says, do not be drunk with wine, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. Why does the Bible speak so frequently of fill and filling when it comes to the work of Holy Spirit? Because, beloved, there is a void in the human existence. And the more and more things you and I try to pour into it, the more empty it becomes. God says that He will give His Holy Spirit, and when He gives it, it will fill you. No matter how much you try to fill it with anything else, it only gets full when the Holy Spirit comes. And this is what Jesus says. Come, come, come. Drink this. Believe on me. And I will fill you with Holy Spirit. Believe in Jesus, and you will receive that filling. Trust in the Lord Jesus, and there you will find that joy. There you will find that comfort. There you will find that peace. There you will find that assurance, beloved. And listen to me. If there is a conspiracy in the Bible, it is not an evil one. It is a good one. It is a glorious one. For the Father and the Son have conspired with the Spirit to save and fill with joy all those who believe and trust in Christ this morning. Believe that. Believe that. And yet, I fear, as clear as that is, beloved, and yet I fear, as clear as that is, like those in the text, some this morning will find it hard to believe. Believe that it is indescribable, that it's unfathomable, that such thing is unbelievable. But, beloved, I want to tell you that it is not unbelievable. It is just amazing. It is amazing because we serve an amazing God. It is amazing because we worship an amazing Savior. It is amazing because grace is amazing. Don't this morning leave from hearing this word not assured of faith in Jesus Christ and the promise of Holy Spirit to fill your life. The Lord says, come this morning, drink this, and be satisfied. Jesus Christ offers to us this morning the living water. And if you would this morning drink of Jesus, which He explained as believing in Him, and out of you will flow these everlasting springs of satisfaction and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is the promise of God. It is not secret. It is not hidden. It is here. It is here for anyone. Anyone. All you have to do is come. Let's pray.